Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, happy hump day, humpity hump day. I found an old song from old school days about doing the hump de hump. So I posted that on Facebook today. That was quite funny. An old classic. It is a drippy, sticky, hot, humid day finally, so I get to report some decent summer weather. Thank goodness it is the first day of summer, so it's quite appropriate. Amy and I took the girls yesterday, and actually Amy took us strawberry picking. You'll see those pictures on Facebook. Feel free to, you know, pitch in and chit-chat on the Facebook page. That's always helpful. That would be facebook.com/celiacroads. And we are kicking in the summer with one of my dear friends, Melissa. She is the owner, proprietor, and super goddess of Mother Roots Healing Arts, here located here in New Hampshire, so that'll be pretty cool. Tonight, I am taking Chloe to a shaman healing at the Unity Church in Rollinsford. That starts at 7, so if you guys want to check that out, that would be great. I'm super looking forward to checking that out and seeing what that's all about, and can't think of anything else because I think my brain's melting like a popsicle today. It's been a super incredible busy week. So for those of you who have written or called and I haven't gotten back to you, don't take it personally. I'm coming. I'm just running behind. But do know that you are loved. I love you very much. You are blessed beloveds, and I just think you rock and you're cool. So Amy, how was your week?
Well, very busy since my daughter came from Utah to visit at 4:30 a.m. and jumped in bed with me on Friday. Not been the same since Friday. I've had a revolving door in my house, which, you know, I've had a little bit of a break from when they were in high school. It was a revolving door, and I was quite used to it, not so used to it so much anymore. But it's all good, all these kids that I haven't seen in a while, and, you know, she gets to visit with her friends and the way we're doing it so she can visit with everyone, you know. And I'm going to Girl Scout camp this weekend with, I don't know, 100-plus Girl Scouts. I don't even know how many there are. So I'm hoping for very good weather, so put all your positive energy that I'm going to have at least 75, 80-degree weather throughout the weekend so I don't get rained out with Girl Scouts.
Yeah, we'll hold that space for you. Good weather for the Girl Scouts this weekend, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I hope so. And then, you know, it's been really busy. Haven't gotten much sleep, but I go camping for a week, which I will catch up because I pretty much sit on my float.
That's true. That's coming up. That's what, next week?
Yep. The 30th, I leave for a week. So.
Yeah, so that'll be good. And
yeah.
Amy might be dialing in that day. She might not.
We'll see.
She's on vacation and she's up on a mountain or somewhere crazy. So if her cell has reception, she might pop in just to give us an update as to how her camping experience
is. It'd be nice if I could call you from my float.
I'm sitting here with a margarita on a float. It's my vacation. How y'all doing?
In the middle of Conway Lake.
That's it. That's how we roll.
Yeah.
So it is the first day of summer, and in honor of our very universal approach to this radio show, inviting all types of spiritual leaders, healers, and various other modalities, we are going to talk about, I believe, summer solstice,
Yay.
Which I don't know much about, so I'm learning as much as you guys do, and Amy's sitting here doing the I know something dance, so this will be great. So I want to introduce my friend Melissa. Melissa, are you out there, my friend?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi. Good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Rusty. Thank you. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Melissa. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. It's good to meet you over the phone. I've been hearing you, but I haven't met you yet.
No, I've heard of you and your business. I don't think we've actually met. We may have met at an expo because I do a lot of those, but you sound very familiar. I think we have some mutual colleagues out there. So
We probably do in the Seacoast. We have lots of we have a great community here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Melissa, give us a little bit about you. I'm fortunate enough to have known you for, gosh, 6 years?
Yeah, it would be about 6 years ago that I met you.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to pretend I don't know you.
Okay. I was hoping, you know, that I would get very specific questions so that I could just...
You will. We'll get there.
Good.
So
well,
who
I'll
are
tell
you?
You?
What do you do?
Okay, I'll tell you something about myself. First of all, I want to say thank you for asking me to be on the show. I am really excited about this. And I've enjoyed listening to you, your interviews throughout the weeks, the many weeks. So I have a healing arts business called Mother Roots Healing Arts, and I'm in Lee, New Hampshire. I started out in this business in 1993. I think I graduated from massage school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very drawn to... Are you hearing lots of static, or is that just on my phone?
I'm not hearing noise static, but
Chloe
is home watching Disney, so you might hear a little bit of TV in the background.
Okay, that must be what I'm hearing. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. So I was drawn to the healing arts after the first time I had a massage. So I was in my very early 20s, and I graduated from massage school, but I did not go into that field for quite a while. I ended up traveling for a while and then working for an absolutely wonderful company for 7 years. And at that place, I learned about homeopathy and using herbs and eating organically and cooking organic food and really learning all about health from
mm-hmm.
a woman named Toby Tarno and her husband, Richard Kalin. They owned a business called Unity. Not the Unity Church that you just spoke of, which is funny. And
mm-hmm.
When my son was about 5 years old, who I birthed at the summer solstice time, so he's just about 16 now this weekend, I was laid off from my job, and I sat at my desk, and I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And within a minute, I said, I'm a massage therapist. Even though I haven't done it, I can start a business, and that's what I did. So
great.
In 2001, I started Sea Glass Massage Therapy, and from there, it has just fully evolved into, I've always loved the part of my business that I loved the absolute most was the emotional healing aspect
mm-hmm.
of working with people through the body. The body holds all of our memories. So I began noticing that so many clients would be moved to tears or they would get off the table and start talking about memories that they had, and they were feeling like they were receiving a lot of emotional healing and spiritual healing from the massage therapy. And that was what I was most interested in. So I began deepening and like exploring different techniques with my clients, energy work, shamanic healing techniques, sound healing, ritual and ceremony. I kind of took all kinds of things that I did in my everyday
mm-hmm.
life, and I brought them into my business. And even when I say the word business, I never like to say I have my own business because it doesn't feel like a business. It feels like it is something that just comes out of me that I'm supposed to be doing in this world, and I'm very grateful that I can get paid while I do it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, there's no greater gift in this world than to be able to follow our hearts and do the work that
mm-hmm.
That feels natural to us. So,
yes, absolutely.
Probably about 7 years ago, I began studying craniosacral therapy because it is very linked to emotional healing. There's a technique I use called somato-emotional release, and we learn that
yes.
in our advanced trainings. And that was what, again, I was most drawn to, helping people to heal their emotions through the body work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do that, and I teach lots of classes on the divine feminine, goddess energy, archetypes and symbols, mythology. And in my groups are called Roots Deep, Branches Rising. And they're
mm-hmm.
groups that run between maybe 7 and up to 13 or 14 women. And we do ritual and ceremony, and I talk to the women about following the seasonal wheel of the year, connecting to the seasons and the cycles of the moon, so that mm-hmm. their life can feel more natural and flowing, and so that we don't have to waste our time and energy like forcing ourselves to do things that might not be right in that season or that day or that cycle for us. And something, I think that's about it. There's kind of lots of things. I'm also, my greatest passion is astrology. So I weave astrology in with my personal spiritual mentoring work with my clients. And that is a very sacred art, I believe. Astrology is very sacred.
Yes.
And I also am an online teacher for Susan Weed. She has an online venue called Wise Woman University, and I teach a class on that called Reclaiming Artemis, Calling Passion, Power, and Wildness Back into Your Life. So
mm-hmm.
I've got lots of online students through that, and that's all about empowerment, working with the archetype of Artemis, who's a very strong, independent goddess archetype.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some things that I do.
Well, that sounds very interesting. You must be having fun with the astrology piece this year, because the astrology is very interesting and has a lot to offer this year.
Yes, it does.
I dabble a little bit in it, but I'm certainly not an expert, but I've always been drawn to it. But there is a lot going out there in the universe, and it is actually affecting a lot of us. I'm having a lot more people coming in. I do emotional release with essential oils.
Uh-huh.
And I'm having a lot of people come in. The thing that people are most is they feel disconnected right now.
Yes.
Is that coming through your doors as well?
What's happening, interesting that you say that. I am not sensing that they're feeling disconnected as much as...
They are feeling disconnected, not me. You know what I mean?
No,
like, that's the only word they can come up with.
Yes, because, and exactly, that's, I was going to just branch off of what you said about them feeling disconnected. What's happening with the way we are all, I'm just going to say this for those out there that don't understand astrology, if you don't mind, then that way they'll understand more about what I say.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment of birth, if you can visualize yourself lying in the hospital bed in your mother's arms or wherever you were lying at the moment of birth, when you took your first breath, the sky above you, where the planets were, the sun, the moon, what astrological sign was rising over the eastern horizon,
mm-hmm.
And the geometrical angles these planets make to each other all determine a person's extremely unique, beautiful, sacred path in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is like an imprint that goes right into their soul. And the belief with astrology is that your soul chose this path. Your soul wanted
mm-hmm.
to learn about this. So now every day that's your imprint. That's your sacred
mm-hmm.
original medicine essence self. And then every day, of course, the sky is in, the planets are doing their own thing. And they are hooking into people in certain ways that tap in and awaken parts of their birth chart within them. And so what's happening with this extremely, extremely powerful planetary stuff that's going on now is it's hitting people and they are not able to connect to their life anymore the way it is unless they, because if it's not authentic to them, if they're doing things that aren't authentic
yeah.
for them, if they're in relationships that, you know, if they've been getting a message that something in their life is time to end and they're trying and struggling to preserve it, even though they know they shouldn't,
that makes
they're
going
to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And Uranus and Pluto, there's the big square that's going to be hitting people this Sunday. But it's already been hitting people. It's extremely, truly, absolutely intense for every single person on the earth. However, if it actually makes a direct hit, so to speak. This is all about geometry and stuff, so I don't want to confuse
mm-hmm.
you. But if it makes a hit on your birth chart, then you are going to have some serious transformation. So it's an exciting time, and it's a rebirth time.
Yes.
But with these transitions, people do experience pain. They might say, oh, my God.
It's uncomfortable.
it's very uncomfortable, especially because if they've been safe, say, in a relationship, and but they've known it was not serving them in the highest loving way for themselves, and now this hit, this big giant square in the sky comes, Pluto and Uranus, mm-hmm. and it says, that's it. We've been giving you the warning, and you haven't listened. See ya. You know?
Yeah.
So those are the kind of things, yes, absolutely. So people are, like, not they're disconnected from what they've been doing, and they might not know where to turn, so they're coming to the healers in the community or the holistic healers to say what, like you. So that's my long reflection on that, Amy.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that you started talking about that, because there's a lot of, when you're in the healing modalities, and if your client doesn't understand the astrological connection, that seems to be a big subject these days. So can you elaborate a little bit further on what exactly is happening now and what's going to be happening over the next few months?
Well, I'll just share with you what I can. And just to to name the fact that
I totally understand that, by the way.
Oh, good. Thank you. My astrology is such that I am a very personal, one-on-one person kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm better at working with people individually in the sense of I can, that's how I can tune in and my intuition can come on. And but in general, you've got two planets. Well, there are lots of things happening, but we'll just focus what's happening this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we had the Venus transit, as you know, last week. Many people have heard that on the news, even if they don't know what it is. The deeper spiritual message of that Venus transit is about falling in love with you, with yourself, like seeing the divinity in you. And in your birth chart, wherever Venus is, shows you what you deeply value in this life and what you must have to be happy. So when we love ourselves, that Venus energy, which is very ancient, like the media has turned Venus into like the sex goddess thing.
Mm-hmm.
She is about our sexuality, but it's a sacred sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a lot deeper than that. She connects us to the ancient women's mysteries of life, death, and rebirth, and our monthly cycle, and all kinds of deep things. And she helps us, this Venus transit was helping people to go into their own heart and say, oh my God, I am worth as much as my child that I love. I'm worth as much as my best friend that I give to. And helping you to see the divinity, the goddess within you, or the God within you, if you're a man, and both anyway, but the male and female divinity within all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the very, go ahead.
It's funny you say that, because even, you know, I love astrology and I study it, but I certainly, again, I'm not an expert. But it's funny because that's what I've been doing over the last, you know, few months is really getting people. Yes, when I'm working with people, I've worked with someone this morning, and I'm like, you have to you can't give love until you learn to love yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are really looking for that spiritual connection. They're looking for that. And I said, your spiritual connection is within you. I said, once you connect spiritually to yourself, then you can connect spiritually to everything and everyone in the universe. And I said, you know, this is what I've been working with people. Very, very, every single person is learning how to love themselves, learning how to ground themselves, and learning how to try to focus out of negative thinking patterns and, you know, just basic love, which usually, because my medium is aromatherapy and energy healing, but I've been doing a lot. There's so much more that needs to be done with the spiritual aspect with people. And what you're saying makes so much sense of what's been going on, what I've been seeing. And it makes total sense, and I wish people could understand, you know, all that you understand, so they could, you know, maybe not have so many trial and errors, even though we do need those in our life. I think we create
we
more.
Need the experiences,
yeah, we
so.
Really do, but we really sometimes I think we give ourselves too many trial and
errors. Yeah, I would like to comment on that when you're done too. There's
sure,
a
go
big
ahead.
Thing about anybody who knows me, anybody who knows me or who's been in my groups knows that I have. All right, I live. It's like I live on this earth to help. To share about and help teach women and men. I work mostly with women, but I have a lot of male mm-hmm. clients as well. But in the groups, mm-hmm. they're women. There is a big illusion. So I'm going to probably, you know, shake things up a little here, but that's in my
that's
astrology
okay.
to shake things up. There's a very large illusion in the spiritual community that I have witnessed that is that I would call the white light kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It is... exactly a the white light thinking is a polarity, is a split way of thinking that, you know, about all about being just positive and all that. And however, all right, so the ancient teachings and the truth about what the goddess and God and the earth shows us is that we within us there is a destroyer and a creator. There's
mm-hmm.
anger and peace and love, you know. There's
mm-hmm.
all, there's everything within us, and I use the word and instead of but. So I'll say today mm-hmm. I am rageful, and I am peaceful, and I am striving for inner peace. So while I am rageful, I will express this rage through art or talk about it or drum about it, but I'm not going to suppress the rage. I'm going to say this is holy rage, and there are many goddesses of fire and volcanoes and many goddesses, archetypes of rage. To teach women and men to embrace all of the emotions that they have so that they can be used for what they are, which is just pure energy. And
mm-hmm.
then we can transform it and heal with it. And I'm not going to say but, I'm going to say and what you said about teaching people about the negative thinking and the thoughts and how really it's, when people are thinking negative, they're actually just basically, if they stopped and looked at it, they'd be just beating themselves up, as you know. You know, when you work with people,
yeah.
so you see these people are just torturing themselves, you know? Now, if
mm-hmm.
somebody could stop and say, wait a minute, what is a core belief I am holding inside
mm-hmm.
of me that is causing me to think this way, they could go down into that deep belief and heal it and look at it and bless it and love it and then transform
mm-hmm.
it into something that maybe is a great treasure within them. And
well, they have to experience it in order to let it go. And that's
yes.
a lot of the allopathic medicine. All they do is talk about it and they leave you emotional and hanging and say and give you a
yeah.
pill. Here you go.
Right.
You know, so, you know, and I just, you know, I go through this every day in my practice and I say, you know what, if it's not working for you, try something else. You know, some people are perfectly happy in their pharmaceutical world and I'm not putting them down. If it's working for them, that's great. But a lot of us don't and they know that. And I said, you know, that's the first step is knowing that that doesn't work for you.
Yes.
You know, and but I also work with my emotional release patients that, you know, you have to feel this emotion. It's okay to feel the anger. It's okay
mm-hmm.
to feel the sadness. It's okay to feel, you know, people that are dealing with, you know, losing a loved one. It's okay to be mad at the world. You just got to know how to deal with it and how to harness it and then turn it into something that's more positive. But I don't tell people not to feel their feelings. You know,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's good.
And
they need people like you that are doing that, that are giving them places that they can feel their feelings. And that's actually a lot about what Venus is about on a deeper,
mm-hmm.
The deeper archetypal level. She was the goddess Inanna and Persephone and
mm-hmm.
Ishtar, the ancient goddesses that would go down into the underworld and they would have to face these deep things,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then we all know if once we get through what doesn't kill you makes you stronger kind of thing.
Yeah.
So when we can go down into the feelings, we end up coming up and out wiser, stronger, like so proud of ourselves. And then we can just, you know, it always seems like next thing you know, you meet people that are going through just what, you know, I'll meet somebody that's going through just what I went through. And I'll be so grateful that I did the journey to the inside of me. And even though it was so scary
so
or painful.
True.
I just went through that, Melissa.
Did you, Rusty?
I literally had lunch with a perfect stranger who I randomly met Saturday morning. And not only do we look alike.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, she's considerably older than me by 40 years. So it was, and as we were having lunch together, and I'm learning because I think one thing that my generation has really missed the boat on is appreciating and learning from your elders.
Yeah.
Instead,
absolutely.
We tend to stuff them away or visit them once a month or, you know, not really understanding the amount of wisdom and the amount of what they've seen and gone through and have experienced might actually have a purpose in your life in some way at some point, you
mm-hmm.
know. So I really embrace that time, and I was so thrilled to have lunch with her. So she was telling me her story, her life story, and it brought tears to both of our eyes because her life story is almost identical to what I'm going through my transition now.
Wow, Rusty. So she
was, powerful.
A gift dropped into that.
Absolutely.
Is really cool.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cool. But I do have a question to kind of pull us back a little bit. A friend of mine years and years and years ago used astrologyreport.com or something and pulled up for my birthday, sent me a chart. And for those of you who have never actually seen or participated in an astrology chart, they're really, really neat, but they're based on degrees, angles. It's very, very much mathematical equations. So my question to you, because before you had mentioned where your planetary position was at time of birth, mine was in Aquarius. And it says house 12. What does house 12 mean, and what does Aquarius and Venus, having my house in Aquarius at this time, what does that mean?
Okay. I'm not sure I understand your question, so I'm going to ask you so I understand.
Okay, go ahead. Yep.
Are you, now, you've thought of yourself as a Pisces, right?
Yep,
that
that's when I was born. Yep.
Okay. When you got this report, are you saying that it showed that your son was in Aquarius or Venus
no,
was
my
in
son
Aquarius?
My son is in Pisces. Venus, it says planet sign, so Venus was in Aquarius when I was born.
Oh, in the 12th house.
Correct.
Okay, let me go into this. Okay, so Venus in Aquarius. I just had a woman here who had Venus in Aquarius.
Oh, wild.
Okay, Venus in Aquarius. This means that you will need the following qualities in your life in order to be happy, okay?
Okay.
And you will find these things valuable. All right, so I'm just going to go intuitively here. Well, based on intuition and on, because I know
yeah,
you a
I
little
know.
Bit, but you know, what is Aquarius and Venus? Aquarius and Venus is going to be the freedom seeker. You've got to have freedom. You cannot be held down. If somebody were to lock
no, that's
you
not
up,
her.
Oh, yeah, you would go insane.
Yeah.
You will not want to be told what to do. You will need to be respected and asked if you are interested in doing something more than being told what you will do. That will incite what's the rebel. Okay, Aquarius is the rebel, the revolutionary. Wanting to get out of the old thinking and make way for the new. They don't like, they're less traditional. But we can't, remember, the birth chart is it's very holistic. So as an astrologer, normally I'd be looking at your whole chart and I'd be weaving it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking it up into pieces is only one piece of you. But this part
right.
of you, Rusty, cannot be contained. She's the revolutionary. She's going to be the one who brings new, interesting things into your traditions. Very socially conscious, very much cares about the greater world,
mm-hmm.
rules technology. So the Aquarius will be somebody who, oh, my God, this is so cool. Ready? Aquarius rules technology. The 12th house. So you now have the perfect example, you the radio show host online, on the internet. That's your Aquarius. Venus is about relationships. So you're building relationships via the internet, via technology, in the spiritual realm, the 12th house. So you're bringing all these spiritual leaders together, spiritual healers, spiritual talk. And this is the other best part. Aquarius is like universal. So you're not just having a Christian show or a goddess show, or you're having an Aquarius show, which is all about everybody's unique. Let's have unity in our diversity. Let's celebrate all the different ways we are all unique. Aquarius needs to be unique, and they're very unique people. They have their own way of doing things, and they like to be unique. Their friends are very important to them. Oh, you're an Aquarius?
I'm an Aquarius.
On the cusp of a Capricorn.
Right? Huh?
Oh, fine. So
yeah.
The Aquarius.
I'm an Aquarius.
Oh, cool. So the Aquarius loves to have their friends, and in your case, Rusty, you've got Venus in Aquarius, so you're going to enjoy in the 12th house of spirituality, and that's just like all the deep, there's many things there, though. I mean, personally, this means a lot. It also means that you are working out some pretty, can I say?
Yeah,
hopefully,
absolutely.
Online. This would be some trauma.
Yeah.
Down the line, the family line, that you are called in to work out in this life. There's many deeper things here too. But that's in a nutshell.
Cool. Yeah. So knowing me for 6 years, does that sound about right?
Yes,
I've only known you for two, and that hit the nose on the head.
Yeah, it does.
Well, maybe 3 years, but
yeah, I know, right?
And then. Oh. Then what is even cooler is you are a Pisces, and the Pisces natural house is the 12th house. So when you look at the birth chart, it's so beautiful because all the planets end up working together. It's like they say, if she doesn't get this being a Pisces, we'll help her get it through giving her Venus in Pisces.
Right.
In Pisces house. So spiritual things, meditation, anything at all, but also, Rusty, this is something very important. You have to have a lot of alone time, and in your relationships, you've got to be able to be free, and you have to have somebody that really, really celebrates you as more of a unique person and can let you have your power and let you have your freedom so that you can really be fully self-expressive. And go off wherever you go.
That's just so cool. That just made a whole 36 years all wrapped up into 10 minutes.
Thank you.
So you're awesome.
Thank you.
Give us a little example of, you know, a little tiny, because I know we could talk about this for hours, but I want to get into, you know, the summer solstice and just kind of tie this in. What are the houses? I see that my son is Pisces, but it's in house one.
Mm-hmm.
And you said the 12th house was kind of the spiritual house, which I live in. That's, you know, I absolutely am very spiritual, so it's terribly important to me. But what's a one house and a nine house and all of the others?
Oh, yeah, yeah. These are big questions, Rusty.
I know. Well, you wanted direct questions. I'm giving it to you, baby.
Yeah, no, I don't mind answering them, but it's so deep. I don't want to not do it justice either. So in general, the first house is the house of self. And whatever is in the first house is going to be what people see when they look in your eyes. They're going to see when they look at you. So it's what is a core part of you and what you project out into the world. Here I am. This is me. What is your rising sign? Pisces too?
What is rising? Would it
I
say
will
rising?
Say ascendant. It'll say ascendant. It's either Aquarius or Pisces.
It's Aquarius.
Okay.
My ascendant is Aquarius.
All right. So when people look, so we're going to mix now the ascendant, the rising sign of Aquarius with the Pisces in the first house. So when people look at you, they're going to see, or even if you look very, say, conservative, they're going to look at you and they're going to know there is something different about her. She is not like other people. There's something different about this woman. There's something unique. She feels very authentic. She is not like everybody else. This is somebody who really is just her own self. They're going to look at you and they're going to see a divinity, a Piscean energy, because you're a Pisces and it's in the first house. They're going to look and you're going to have eyes that they see. You actually do have Pisces eyes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, yes, you've got those watery spirit eyes that you look in and they're very trance-inducing and they're good. Mm-hmm. You have a mystical feeling about you, otherworldly. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You're not of this world. You're a Pisces. So that's what people are going to see. And when they talk to you or listen to you, they're going to say, this is an authentic person, Aquarius rising, who is deeply compassionate. And I feel like I can tell her anything, and she would already understand. She will have already probably gone through this, and she will understand me. And that's what you're going to, that's what people will see in you when they first meet you.
And it's funny, and just to resonate on that a little bit, I've had friends who have gone grocery shopping with me and don't understand how a perfect stranger will come and hold my hands and just give me their life story. I've had people look at me going, you've talked about this, Rusty, and I always thought you were a little off. I love you. But I never, ever, ever expected to witness somebody crying in the middle of the dairy aisle.
You must have something else that goes along with grocery stores and, like, food and stuff.
Everywhere I go, though, and I think that's probably the reason why my alone time is so important, because empathically...
You're an empath, yeah.
It can be pretty overwhelming, even to go to the gas station. So that's interesting that you pointed that out. Like, I'm pumping gas and somebody's got cancer and, all you do is hug them and love them. And
I go through the same thing. And you know, like I go to like a gathering, a party or something, a celebration, and I always get these complete strangers that I've never met before, and they make this huge connection with me.
Yeah.
And people are like, how do you do that? I go, I'm not doing it. The universe is doing it.
Yep.
And the universe brought this person, and we were put in the same place at the same time for a reason.
Yep.
You know, I may not feel at that moment that I've made an impact on that person, but I know whatever I'm supposed to do, whether it be, you know, a very, big impact or a very small impact, I just trust that whatever that impact is supposed to be, it was meant to be, and, you know, I go with it, but definitely we're both like that.
Yeah, that's how I met my real estate agent. I applied for an apartment after I left my ex-husband, and a real estate agent decided to take me on the tour of this particular apartment, and then she just started crying because she had just lost her dog.
Oh.
And I just listened to her because I totally understand that pain, and she looked at me and she just was like, I can't believe I did that. I'm supposed to be showing you the apartment. And they said, I'm a healer for a reason. this is why
I
do what
funny.
I do.
I think this is funny because what I'm seeing here is what I believe too is when somebody is just being themselves.
Yeah.
When you're just letting yourself be you. And then you are the true you can shine out and magnetically radiate out your own inner beauty, and then people that need your medicine will come to you, just like we will be drawn to those that we, you know, the soul knows. These souls know and long for freedom and wholeness. I mean, sorry, the soul longs for wholeness. I believe that so fully. And it will seek out and it will see from across the room the one person that can bring it through its next little steps that it needs in that moment, or to help it reclaim parts of itself that it lost. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, isn't it amazing? I mean, even how we met was serendipitous, but we can get into that another time. So in a quick version, because I really want you to talk about the summer solstice, I'm dying, and I haven't looked it up. I usually cheat when I'm this excited about something, but I didn't. A little bit... You know, so the houses represent different aspects of your personality, your person, your body, your soul.
They're spheres of life.
Okay.
Each house is a sphere of life. So the fourth house is your childhood home and the place where you received your early psychological programming, so to speak.
Oh, God, that makes sense.
It's almost like your mother's kitchen, you know. The fifth house is your house of creativity, children, joy, self-expression, vacations,
and
romance.
And that was fifth house?
Fifth, yeah. The second house is the house that shows what your greatest resources are, like what you really value. It's a house ruled by Venus, so it's one of those value houses. Like, what do I value enough to spend money on? What makes me feel like I am, how do I make my money? What, that kind of thing. Third house is early childhood education. It's your siblings, your neighborhood, how you learn best, that kind of thing. The postman.
Now, if you don't have a third house, is that possible?
No, it's not possible. Everybody's got a third house. However, you might not have planets in the third house. That would mean that you don't have to, that either that's not going to be a major focus in your life at this in this life, or
yes,
that kind
that,
of thing.
I agree with that, yeah.
However, at the cusp of the fourth of every house, there's a sign. So if we look at the cusp as a doorway, so at the doorway to every house, and for people that don't know what an astrology chart looks like, if you just look at it, it's like a 12-part piece pie, piece of pie, like a pie cut in 12 pieces, six on the bottom, six on the top. The cusp, the sign on the cusp, tells you who the ruler, what planet is the ruler of that area of life for you. And it tells us how you approach that area of life. So it still is a sphere of life for you, and everyone has these spheres of life. Yeah, hello?
I'm sorry, I found my... No, sorry.
Okay, that's
so
okay.
So we have these spheres of life?
Yes. Now, the sixth house is the house of everyday work and health. We can just keep it simple like that. Your daily habits. Things that are important to you in your daily life. The seventh house is the house of relationships, partnerships. The eighth house is the house of sex, death, psychology, the deep, deep, deep parts of you, all the inner archetypes within you, or that's redundant, sorry, all your inner archetypes. It's the house of the deeper intimacy. So say in the seventh house you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Then in the eighth house are those people that you get deeply, deeply intimate with, and it's a house of shared resources. So it's a place that shows how you share yourself and your resources with others or with this intimate partner. So people with eighth house planets in the eighth house, they're going to be very deep people, the psychologist usually, or they're going to be go down deep in with people or their own self. They're going to be very drawn to mystery and psychology and stuff. The ninth house is the house of where we expand now. We've been growing older, and in the ninth house area, we're expanding our mind, our philosophies, our spiritual self. Ninth house is a little bit more organized religion. But still, you know, it's expanding. It's the place of long-distance travel, higher education, that kind of thing, our values and our beliefs. Okay, 10th house is the career. Did you want all this information?
Absolutely.
Yes,
yeah, I have a question on the 9th house, but keep going. Let's get through the 12th.
Yeah, I'm almost done. So the 10th house is the house of work and career. It also can be the house of the father. But it depends. Sometimes it's the mother. Sometimes the fourth house is the father and the 10th house is the mother. The 11th house is the house of groups and friends and your hopes and dreams. And then back to the 10th house for a second. Not only is it our work and our career, but it's basically how the public sees you. It's your public self. And then back now to the 12th house, it's the house of karma, the house of institutions. It's the house of spirituality, ancestral kind of complexes that we carry along with us. What was that, Amy?
She has two. She has Mercury and Venus
in Aquarius.
And well,
The planet is Mercury and Venus in the 12th house, and the sign
is Aquarius on both.
Aquarius on both.
I think that's
are
the
they next to each other?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'm better when I see it, Rusty, so sometime I'll look at
no,
your
chart. I know.
Yeah, it's easier for me to look at it because it's really important to do the big picture, which is why when people do it online, they're getting a report of what each planet might mean.
Right.
In that sign, but it doesn't weave it together. It doesn't tell you anything about your soul journey. So that's why it's good to
read
it all in one.
That's why I want you to do mine, because I know you were...
Now, I dabble in numerology, and it's funny that a lot of this, like when I read my numerology report
mm-hmm.
that I have up through 2015, it's really, really similar with this. I just understand I'm a numbers girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even though I know about astrology, but only like zodiac and personality wise, as far as like what you're talking is much deeper, which I'm interested in. It's funny how the numerology and the astrology all pretty much say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had both done, and they're very, very, very similar.
I can see how that would happen. I am not skilled at numerology, but there are numbers that I do
mm-hmm.
know a bit about many different sacred numbers. So, but I
mm-hmm.
agree with you because I really think, it's so fascinating. If I had all day,
mm-hmm.
I could give you millions of examples
right.
of how somebody's birth chart, even... You can even take like their favorite coffee, and
mm-hmm.
it will literally go along with like
yeah.
their birth chart. I'll say, how
yeah,
did that happen?
Really, you're absolutely
everything.
Right.
Everything. And
even for those of us who just like to learn about everything, being the universal spirit that I am, it's hard not to go, oh my gosh, this
yeah.
is so genetically DNA.
Yeah,
you know,
connecting.
Yeah. It's wild. So my last question, and then we need to get onto the summer solstice. My ninth house, it says true node Scorpio. What is a true node?
Okay.
N-O-D-E.
You know what? I know that people call it the true node. Is the horseshoe shape, it's like a little horseshoe. Is the opening facing up or down?
I'm reading a list. I don't have
yeah,
the
she didn't
chart.
Have the symbolism.
I don't
yeah.
have the chart.
Okay, well, as far as I know, the true node is the north node, and that would
okay.
be what in this lifetime you are meant to push yourself to. So Scorpio, Taurus, this gets deep. This is more past life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's something that we would want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
no
you
worries.
Know,
I was just curious because you mentioned what the house was, and I'm going, oh, wow, cool. What does true node Scorpio mean mm-hmm. in my house?
In the ninth house. Well, just in a nutshell, your Scorpio Taurus nodal axis is what you have. Whether it's north node or south node, but I'm almost positive true node is the north node, the destiny node. You're learning about sharing resources, about taking the resources that you have held on to and sharing them with others, but going in a very, very, very deep, deep way. And what's amazing is the ninth house is the house of the mentor,
mm-hmm.
the counselor, the minister.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Scorpio is the sign that rules that eighth house I was just talking about, going down deep, deep with people. So, it sounds to me like you are absolutely what we call working your north node, which means, you know, the old way might have been to be more reserved and fixed and holding on to your resources. In this lifetime, they were asking you to reach out and share them with others, and that is exactly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool, and it's in the ninth house, which is, what are you doing? You're expanding in your work. You are expanding. It's a house of expansion, right? People's, you're sharing philosophy, spirituality, education. You're expanding the awareness of others. So it goes exactly along with what your life is doing.
Great.
That's like, amazing.
Yeah, exactly along. It's your work in
we
it.
We should have her on again and do, can you do like, if someone gave you a birthday, can you give them like a mini, like little session or something that they need to concentrate on now? Would you be able to do that?
That would be that would take too long. I'll tell you why, because I would have to cast their chart, then I would have to cast a transit chart on top of them. It would take too long for a radio
long.
Show.
Yeah.
What I could do is, I mean, we could talk about this. You know, we could figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I could talk about
their
moon sign. If somebody calls in with their birth time, I could pull it up in front of me, see what their moon is in, and tell them what is most emotionally important for them to feel safe in the world. So those are things we can definitely do. Absolutely. It would be wicked fun.
Yeah, it would.
All right. So let's try to make put that in our feelers and try to make that happen sometime this fall, because this is super exciting. And again, for those of you who have never seen an astrological chart, it is very much like a map of the stars. It's usually in a circle, and there are different symbols that have been around for thousands and thousands of years, folks. And it's planetary positions and what's going on in the degrees, and it's so intense. So I would highly recommend, if you have time, I know a lot of you sneak us at work, if you have time, go online and just pull a planetary chart so that you can at least get a visual. And it is complicated, and there's a lot of aspects, literally aspects, ascendants, descendants, directs, retrogrades, all of this terminology, plus degrees. So it's very complicated. So what Melissa's gifted in, I think, is worth her cost for actually writing the reports. Melissa, I invite you to give us your website so people can contact you.
Yes, I would love, I am truly gratefully honored when somebody sits at my table and I give them an interpretation of their birth chart, because I know I am seeing into their family history, I'm seeing into them, and I know it's very private and sacred. So if you are interested in an astrology reading, you can absolutely find me on Facebook, Mother Roots Healing Arts, or my website, which is www.motherroots, MOTHERROOTS, motherroots.com.
Okay.
And there's all kinds of things to read in there. And I love it. Nothing is more exciting than help inspiring people to, because the chart shows who you truly are, what you're meant to do, so you can stop wasting, so you in general, I'm speaking out to the world, can stop wasting energy trying to be what your mother told you to be. Instead, you can just be who you came in this world to be. And it is the best. I cried when I first got my chart done when I was about 23 or 24. I don't know how old. It was the first time in my life somebody put me into words. And I just cried. And that changed my entire life.
I agree. I had the same experience. Well, I was much younger, actually, because I really got involved in astrology, and I didn't really pursue it like I should have, because I'm one of those people that have to learn everything, too. But it was like, I was probably 12 the first time had my chart done. But it's very interesting. But we, you know, the summer solstice, I don't think a lot of people don't understand the solstices and what they mean for us personally and for this planet. And so can you go into a little bit about what the solstices mean and what we're looking at with the summer solstice?
Absolutely. For many, many, many years, found as a young woman, when I got into recovery when I was age 17, I found that it seemed like every time I turned around, the earth, the nature was teaching me something. And I was from the city, inner city. And I didn't come up to New Hampshire until I was 18, and then back and forth to Boston area, and then back again when I was about 21. So nature was, I mean, I always loved nature, and this goes all the way back to my early childhood, loving the Native Americans and Mother Earth and all this stuff. And I know you've had that too, because I've heard you share about that.
Yes.
So anyway, I follow an earth-centered spiritual path that is ancient, thousands upon thousands of years, people, all the cultures around the entire world aligned themselves with the seasonal wheel of the year. We call it the wheel of the year, which is so beautiful. It's like it's that wheel again, the sacred circle of life, seasons, the moon, our astrology, the sky goes in that beautiful roundness, the round dance of the stars and planets. We have summer solstice and winter solstice. We have spring equinox and fall equinox. So can I lead people through like visualizing this so they can see it?
Absolutely, please.
Absolutely.
If you look at a wall in front of you or something in front of you, and you picture the big circle drawn on the wall, you just see a circle in front of you. And in the north at the top, you have winter solstice. In the bottom at the south, you have summer solstice. To your left is the west. You've got autumn equinox. And to the right, you've got spring equinox in the east. And so the wheel is like a year, and it connects to all the seasons and the directions of northeast, southwest, and every single one of these are classes that I teach people. This is one of my favorite things to talk about and teach people because it goes very deep. There's many, many layers. And if you could see me right now, my hands, even though I'm Irish, everybody thinks I'm Italian because my hands fly all over the place when I talk.
Oh, me too.
You get so excited and cute,
stuff.
Though.
Thank you. So anyway, at summer solstice, I'm going to start at winter solstice. Solstice means the sun stands still. So winter solstice, we have the longest night of the year. It's deep and long, and people are down. They've just come through the fall, and they're going down into themselves deep. And then at winter solstice, the sun is reborn. And, of course, we can think of many religious holidays in which there is a figure that is born at winter solstice, at that time of the year, December 21st. So the sun is reborn, and from that day forward, we go into what is called the waxing part of the year, when the sun is waxing or growing fuller, bigger, and stronger. And it brings us through all these sacred holidays, that seasonal moments. And then we arrive at summer solstice. And the sun is in its absolute fullest power today. It's the longest day of the year. And I'm just going to tell you all about it here. So the sun shining. If we think of astrology, for example, our sun sign, whatever it's in, and I want everybody to forget all about the Sunday newspaper because that's all just the media astrology. It does not. But the sun in our birth chart is our deepest soul essence. It's like our essence that we're meant to shine out in this world. And so on summer solstice, it is a time to be your authentic self, to shine out from your heart in your fullest self, and exactly like a child, like the divine child. And all the astrology signs of summer connect to the same themes. Today, the sun is in Cancer. It moves into the sign of Cancer. It might have gone in last night at some point. So it's in the sign of Cancer. Well, no, it's today, solstice, what am I saying? And Cancer is all about the Great Mother. It's about the ocean. It's about our family home, our deepest feeling nature, our feelings, our emotions, our intuition as women and men, the gift of our intuition that we've all been given. It's a day to just let yourself feel the freedom of summer and the freedom of being yourself and letting go of how much stress we feel when we are worried about what people think about us and trying to be what is expected of us. I suffer from that greatly. I'm just by nature and from my own childhood history and my own way of looking at the world, I often have to, that's my biggest battle, suffering at my own hand, for being a perfectionist, not in its own strange way, not like you might think, more about, I have to be my best self. I have to be my best self. Well, and that puts too much pressure on us when we're under the gun like that. So I work very hard to connect deeply to the earth and feel grounded and joyful with my own unique essence. Say, all I have to do today is be me. And that's what the summer solstice is all about, celebrating your own heart center, celebrating the sovereign that lives in your heart center, celebrating the child within you that just wants to just be free and play and connect to the things you most love, your family, your friends, and your friends that feel like family. It's the time during Cancer, like right now the moon is in Cancer, right this minute.
Mm-hmm.
So people are going to be nostalgic today. They might have woken up thinking about their memories or memories of their childhood or their mother or somebody, or friends from childhood. They might long for their comfort food that they from their childhood. Cancer is a time when all the time you want to listen to intuition, but it's heightened right now. So pay attention to the messages you are getting inside. It's a very good time. It's a big celebration day, and it's a good time to be really connected within to yourself so you can listen to what the messages are that are coming to you. It's very intuitive.
What I like to do with my family and my kids on the summer solstice, I was actually blessed to be part of a winter solstice ceremony, which was when you were talking about welcoming the sun. I've done I was invited to a pagan, and they explained the Yule log and what the Yule log was and what it represented, and that's part of the winter solstice ceremony, and I never forgot it. I've always been very earthy and, you know, raised in in an environment that's a little not as well widely accepted. You kind of get my drift there.
Yep.
And then I went through, you know, all these different religious things that I went through in my life seeking, you know, that spirituality that you talk of. But when the summer solstice, what I like to do is I do a fire circle, and I first have everybody write down on a piece of paper what they would like to get rid of in their life, you know, an emotion or something. And we throw that in first, and we do another little, kind of like an Indian powwow around the fire. And then I have them write down what you want to accomplish in the year. And people think burning it is a destructive thing, but it's actually giving it to the universe and saying, this is what I want. So we do this, which I will do tonight. But I find that really helps me look and remember. It makes me remember this is what you wanted the universe to give you, you know. And sometimes it's not what you think it's going to be, what you ask for. But I think it's a great way for people in this, like you talked about rituals. You kind of mentioned a little bit about rituals. I think we've gotten out of those type of things that bring us to really think about what we want and what we want, you know. In a lot of people are taught, you know, oh, you're selfish if you want things for yourself. But that's what we're losing touch with, is ourselves.
Yeah.
So we can't be happy on this planet and be a good friend or a good mother or a good...
Unless we take care of ourselves.
And that's what this society has taught us to do is, oh, well, if you think of yourself, then you're selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're flying the friendly skies and they make it very clear you have to think about yourself first, but...
Right. But you know, I think we're coming out of that realm, and a lot of people are uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
And they're not comfortable, especially in certain religious communities. You know, they teach you, you know, that everything is for someone else and not yourself. And I think we're being a little misguided. And I mean, yeah, you don't want to be selfish so you hoard everything to yourself, but yet you have to be able to love yourself and be in do for yourself before you can really do anything for anyone else.
Right. I agree with that fully. And these times of the year and, you know, during full moon and new moon, they're times of celebration. So I would love to speak more on the celebratory kind of end of things. I talked about the personal, about that, but there's two other pieces of summer solstice that are very important that people don't always associate with it, but I'll go there. In terms of celebration, you mentioned fire, and fire is a perfect symbol, and it's a traditional way of celebrating summer solstice because it's honoring the sun, and of course fire is the element of the sun. So having a fire circle and dancing, drumming, singing, very like festive celebration of the color of an abundance of summer. So somebody could go out and what I want to remind people is they do not have to be pagan. You are, the sun shines on them as much as it shines on anyone.
That's
so
right.
So I want to encourage all people to take a minute to go out and just think about what they're grateful for, the gifts they have that they want to share with the world, just like the sun is shining on the earth strongly during this time of the year here in the where we live anyway. And it's helping the flowers to grow and bloom and thrive, and vegetables and fruits. And so you too are all of us have these fruits within us that we are given the charge to tend and nurture and bring to fullness. So somebody could go outside and they could take stones and make a beautiful circle with them. They could have a fire circle. They could perfect way to decorate sacred space on this particular day, because the summer solstice brings us to that childhood place. It's when the sign of Cancer begins, which connects us to our ancestry. It's the time of the ancestor, our ancestry, personally. If you have cloth and ribbons from those you love, or we were just talking about doing a weaving last night, my friend Laura and I, but if they've got pieces of old, like their child's favorite shirt that they've kept forever, or their mother's dress, or whatever, and take a strip of it and tie it around and let the ribbons and cloth blow in the wind around your sacred circle. You could bring pictures of those you love out there that you want to celebrate their fullness of. So there's all kinds of things, singing
we
and drumming.
We actually had somebody just chime in to on our chat room.
Oh, great.
And they wanted to just say, just basically go out, leave it all behind, drop everything that is not us. And that's
drop
how they see today.
Everything that is not us. That, well, can you tell her I said, well, she's probably listening, her or him.
Or he.
Thank you. That leads me into my next, the next thing. And you also mentioned this when you were talking about your yearly circles at solstice, Amy, with the, believe it or not, today marks the day when we go into the waning half of the year.
Yes.
Even though we've just beginning summer, it's actually, the summer, we lose a speck of daylight every day now. And so this begins the time of the year, as opposite of it as it seems, that marks the inner journey, the journey inward. And so it does bring us closer to our family, closer to our close friends, closer to our self. And then when we start to hit August, we go deeper. People become very nostalgic. Then we go deeper and deeper, and we hit autumn and winter. And so we're deepening more and more into ourselves. And autumn equinox is a time really when we say, well, Lammas, which is in the beginning of August, then autumn equinox in October. Those are the gateways down into the underworld of ourself. And those who are afraid to feel their emotions will tend to be people that do not like fall.
That's not me.
Not always true. Some people just don't like fall. But if somebody doesn't like to feel their feelings, they probably really won't like fall, because it's like everything is releasing all the things that we use to cover ourselves up fall away, and we are exposed to the world, and we like have no choice but to go deep into ourselves and feel these things. But so at summer solstice, this woman that mentioned on the chat room, release anything that's not you. It is a day absolutely to sacrifice that which is no longer serving you. It's
that
a day
is my
of sacrifice.
Daily mantra.
Yep. It's really serious. So let go. And also, it's the beginning of the grieving season. Letting go. We begin to see the things we've planted. We've harvested them, and now we have to, we've built up with them. They're growing and growing. We've harvested them, and now we need to take the seeds, take the lessons, take the joy and the memories, and then let that go. Every time summer hits, it means, for me personally, I am actually a year older because my birthday is July 23rd. So I'm a year older, so I'm always working with summer to let go of another year, and my son grows a year older. And I watch, you know, I have to release his childhood a little more each year. And so I'm kind of connected with the myth of Persephone and Demeter, the mother within us that has to give up our daughters. But remember, these can be parts of ourself too. They're things that don't work anymore that we have to let go of. And this is mm-hmm. the time to do it and go out and, like, let the healing sun and the water and the elements ground us and help us get through. But also, at the same time, shining out the brightest, most authentic, raw, beautiful self that you are. So.
And everyone's beautiful in their own right. I just said that with a client of mine today. And,
yeah.
You know, everyone's beautiful in their own right, in their own way, and they all, everybody has something to offer, or they wouldn't be here.
Yes.
And I say that to every single person that comes into my office, because part of mostly why they're suffering is because they don't, most of the time it's because they don't love themselves. But we also, I'm trying to get people more grounded to feeling the energy of the earth and energy of the universe and getting back to those basics. And I really feel that you, you know, I've met a lot of astrologers and people in that realm, but you really have a handle on, you know, intuitively really have a handle on what's going on, and I appreciate you sharing with us today, because there's a lot of people out there that don't understand this realm, and that's the reason why a lot of people can be against it, because it's mostly of them not understanding it.
Well, and coming from an empathetic stance, the universal person that I am, this concept was taught in ancient history through villages, through the elders. We've already touched that subject today, which is now we're circling back around to the elder piece. And, you know, Native Americans, villages, tribes, more community groups, they still practice this type of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we don't teach this on as common place anymore. But what's interesting is this is the time of year that you have your graduations, your family celebrations. Every Sunday you go over to, you know,
a barbecue,
a family barbecue, some sort of family or friend gathering, and that's how
that
we
connection.
Spend our summer,
mm-hmm.
is with our family and friends. So it still happens, even though it might not be articulated as the celebration of summer solstice, we automatically, intuitively, subconsciously still gather our villages.
And we do that in every solstice.
This is like the big barbecue weekend.
Yeah. And we
yes,
do it every solstice too, because in the fall we have our harvest, so we all get together and share a harvest. And in the winter we get together, you know, different religions, you know, like you said, have their different holidays, but we all gather as families to celebrate that. And then in the spring you have, you know, your different religious, the Easter and all those other religious things. But I'm you know, we get so caught up in those. But and then I'm the one sole person in my family, and we'll say, hey, happy summer solstice. And they look at me like, what?
right.
Except for my mother.
So if the person in the chat room suggested that I go outside, which I'm going to after the show. Thank you for that, Fish Bark. but they're also asking what are other recommendations to celebrate the beginning of summer?
What are other recommendations? Well, I can tell you what I like to do. A lot of what I said, decorating, creating an altar. On an altar, you could have, like, colors of fire fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Red fabric, just letting it flow creatively, putting a candle on it. I'm thinking of love and family and being in your power, shining yourself out. So I would put in, what ways could I shine out in my fullest? So if you think of summer
mm-hmm.
solstice being the day, so maybe you've got some goals that you want to reach this summer. You want to really work this summer on stepping into being an artist. So maybe you could put some pictures of art on the table. Or you really want to be a lawyer, so you put the picture of a courthouse on your altar. Just letting you be you and say, what would it look like to be in my fullest power, my fullest self? And I want to use the word power, and remember, it's sacred. It's not a bad thing unless it's abused. So power is just the life force, energy, and beauty, that no different than the power that makes a rose grow to its fullness. The rose, by the way, is sacred to summer solstice. Lavender, the oak tree, so being around an oak tree. What I love to do more than anything, at summer solstice, I love to be near the, oh, speaking of children, here come the children, come through. I'm so very easily distracted.
I know, you probably hear our screaming outside from the water hose right now. It's so hot today.
Oh, that sounds fun. So one thing that I love to do on summer solstice and during the summer, which represents the inward journey, is I love building labyrinths. Now, not everybody knows how to draw an actual labyrinth, but I do, and I love it. And I go and I get a stick and I draw a gigantic labyrinth in the sand. Then I decorate it, and it's, you can see pictures of this on my Mother Roots Healing Arts on Facebook.
It's pretty amazing,
And I make
a
labyrinth on the beach, and then we decorate it with all the different things we find. Women can bring, you can bring flowers from your yard, wildflowers, crystal stones, rocks that you love, sticks, branches. I'm saying the same thing over and over, sorry. Anything, seaweed, shells, trash on the beach, and you make, you decorate the labyrinth, and then in the middle you can put anything you want. You can put a shell, you can make a mandala, you can create something beautiful, right? But from your heart, just do it. Don't try, don't worry about anything. And most people don't know how to make a labyrinth, so what you can do is you can draw a giant, giant spiral that that kind of celebrates the spiral of life, the spiral of the seasons that go on and on and on, endlessly celebrating life, death, and rebirth, life, death, and rebirth of yourself, of the earth, of everything. And then just decorate the spiral with things from the beach, and then just walk, make it wide enough to be a pathway, and then just walk the pathway to the very center. And when you reach the center, say, I am connecting with my true self. I'm connecting with my authentic self. I feel my own essence. I feel centered and grounded. And but doing it at the ocean, if you happen to be able to get to the ocean, that would be wonderful, because Cancer is the sign that rules the ocean and water. Just water, and water is the symbol of the emotions. So if you don't live near the ocean, you could go to a river or a lake, and you could draw a spiral, and you can use a big piece of string. I've made them out of string. Just make a big thing. You can just draw them in the ground. You can do anything you want. You can tie a bunch of ribbons from a tree near the river and sit with a candle. You are making it sacred, and I am the strongest advocate in the world for bringing the magic into the everyday world and knowing you do not need any training from anybody to connect to this earth, because every one of us is a child of this earth. So although I have classes on this stuff, because I have specific classes, and I'll have a group that goes to
however many. It's more guiding than it is teaching, in a way.
Yeah, I love to teach and guide, but what I mostly talk about is helping women just to follow their own intuition, and then something beautiful always happens from the simplest thing if they just say, "Oh, this would be nice," and they do it. And what is also important, geez, I might have to come back to it because I think I forget what I was going to say.
Nope, that's okay. We're actually almost out of time, so I want to make sure that. In regards to celebrating the solstice tonight, you know, what do you want our viewers to take away?
I think, as I mentioned, I hope people can go into, tap into the fact that they were once a small child that was filled with joy and curiosity and connection and love and emotions. And just celebrate that. Go, like, I am going to walk away from this desk, and I am going swimming, and I'm going to go out and just be free. And I hope that everybody can find time to do that today. Just even to tap into the childhood summer vacations, and just go out and have fun. And I always believe that joy is the gateway to, joy and passion are the gateway to your true power. and it tells you what you most want and need in life. So just be happy, literally, for the sake of happiness. And I know what I was going to say. One of the most absolute perfect ways to connect with summer solstice is to create something. Because the sun is the creator. It's like the creative energy.
Yes. That's a good idea.
So if you can create one thing today, whether it's a drawing with pencils or paint or baking something, if you're a baker, or you make a stone sculpture out in your backyard or at the beach, you put stones in a circle with a little feather in the middle of it, make
mm-hmm.
something that you leave for the earth today.
Oh,
or you can put
nice.
It on your altar, and just to remind you of your connection to the cycles.
When you talked about decorating with nature, what I do with my Girl Scouts, I've been a Girl Scout leader. I'm actually going to Camp Arie with like 200 Girl Scouts this weekend.
That's awesome.
What we do is we have them gather stuff from nature, and they make a centerpiece in the table. And then we do a prayer, a wish for the world. That's our prayer. And before each meal. So we have each girl gets a chance. So we have, you know, our breakfast and lunch and dinner. There's two girls for each one, or however we distribute it, how many girls we have. I make sure that every girl gets a chance to be creative and just take what you have and create something beautiful that everybody can enjoy. And I love how you said that.
Yeah, that
because
is absolutely
I do
perfect.
That instinctively. I didn't even know I was actually going with the universe with that. But
tomorrow is, I think when you go away this weekend, I think, I don't have my book in front of me, I think the moon's going to be in Leo. So you are going to notice that this is going to be an extra easy time to get the girls to create, because Leo's all about, again, is truly about shining out. See me, I am authentic, I'm special, just see me for who I am, and it's very much about creative
self-expression.
That's
awesome, I hope that, because that's what I want them to find. And this is the first year that I'm not actually part of running the whole shebang. I said no. And I said, I want to enjoy this. I want to be with my kids and my troop and not be that person all the time that, you know, that was part of my controlling personality when I was younger. But now I just said, and they asked me, and I said, yes, I know, but I can help. I haven't been able, in 20 years of being a Girl Scout leader, been able to sit with my troop and enjoy that experience. I'm always so busy running everything. So
well,
that's
I will
what
tell
I've done
you,
this time.
I don't know how many actual minutes do we have left?
We have 7.
Okay. So on Saturday, the moon is in Leo, and it's a very creative time because the sun is trining, which is called, it's a very harmonious aspect to Neptune. So very, very creative and deep. So you might find that girls are really creating things that are speaking to them in a deep level.
Okay, great.
And the moon, which is kind of our deep emotional self and our intuition, is also in a harmonious sextile with Saturn, which is, you know, is all about building structures and taking the vision and putting it into reality. So you get some really cool really cool setups planetarily to work with the kids. And I want to remind everybody, too, that this weekend is that big Pluto-Uranus square. So while I have the chance to speak out to many people, I want to tell people, hold on to your center. Know that all will be well. Hold on to who you are. Surround yourself with things that truly, truly are you. The food you like, the people you like, the places you that bring out your best self. Stay connected. If something feels like it needs to end, let it end so that you don't have to suffer needlessly. There's a lot of revolution and change coming. I know it can sound like quackery to like the world that doesn't understand astrology, but it's a truly transformational time. It is absolutely solid, dead on transformational time for everybody. So,
it is for everyone, and I tell that to everyone. I'm like, this isn't just about your astrological, your numerology. This is, like, global transformation.
Yeah. It's very global. Every time Pluto and Uranus have been in this kind of connection, in a connection, there are different aspects. Some are harder, some are soft. The last time was during the 60s. All the revolution, the civil rights, everything. During the American Revolution is when, I think it's the American Revolution, that Uranus was discovered. It's very transformational, revolutionary time, and Pluto unearths things. Pluto goes down deep
yes.
inside people and brings what is hidden up to the surface for healing. So it's not an easy time, but those of us who flow with it
mm-hmm.
just don't suffer as much. It can be transformational and exciting as opposed to feeling debilitating and sorrowful and traumatic.
So it sounds like it's going to be an incredibly interesting weekend for me.
Yeah.
This is going to go on to 2015. It's going to the aspect that's happening on Sunday is going to happen 7 times total. Kind of goes back and forth retrograde. So it's going to hit 7 times, which is kind of way more than things usually hit.
Yes. And we're going to have 2 blue moons this year, which is very unusual as well.
Oh, cool. I don't know when those are. I haven't looked that up. But that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So for those that don't know...
Sorry, what, Rusty?
We're running out of time. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
The people in the chat room said thank you for the advice. They liked it. So thank
oh,
you for
welcome.
Those of you who are in the chat room listening to my buddy Melissa. She is really, really wonderful, and she was actually part of the Power of One series, the TV series that I was on. So if you Google The Power of One and Melissa Potter, you'll be able to actually see her live. And she's a fabulous Irish lady who really does look Italian because when she speaks, she gets so excited. And she's very, very sweet. So that'll also give you another understanding of Melissa and what she does and who she is. I want to just say I'm so grateful to have you on the show today. I know it took us a while to make this happen, and I really would like to invite you again.
Absolutely.
To come on. I know
Amy
would like to have you on again too. So it seems like an hour and a half is just not enough time, but you know, so
we'll have a part two.
I really enjoyed myself. I really appreciate being on the show, and I would love to come back sometime. And I hope
and
you
I will have
a wonderful summer.
I will get in touch with you personally very soon.
Oh, please do. I'd love to meet you.
So why don't you give us your website and contact information? So
okay,
as you know, this is archived.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm getting ahead of myself. My phone number is 603-767-3110. My website is motherroots.com, motherroots.com. And I do lots of stuff on Facebook. If for those of you on Facebook, I post all
mm-hmm.
kinds of cool things on Mother Roots Healing Arts. And just remember, Mother Roots is one word, motherroots. Mother Roots Healing Arts. And you can call or email me. Just visit my website and connect in some way. I'm just really glad to be part of this circle. Thank you.
Yay. Yeah, we are glad too. And I just love how, you know, I've had a lot of people that listen to the show that thank us about, you know, just being there and expressing and bringing all of this out there, because people are looking for their own way to find themselves. And, you know, there's all kinds of different ways to find yourself. So this is, you know, one way to get in touch with yourself is to study your astrology and really get to know yourself. And when you get to know yourself and love yourself, it just exuberates onto everyone else. And trust me,
mm-hmm.
I know, because I've been down that road and I've seen it happen. The transformation with my clients happen very often. And it really is truly, it really does work. And I'm so grateful to have you, Melissa, and to meet you, even though one day we'll meet in person.
In person,
yep. But to have people like you doing what they're doing.
Thank you.
Well, big hugs. Go swim. Enjoy your day. I'm going to go and jump in the sprinkler with the kids in the neighborhood, I think.
Oh, fun. That is perfect.
To celebrate.
That's a
big
perfect
thing
to do.
Big hugs to you, Melissa.
Big hugs. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
All right.
Happy
we'll
summer
be in
solstice.
Touch. Have a wonderful day. Happy solstice.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Well, we are running out of time, blessed beloveds. I hope you were able to grab a little bit of that information, and I definitely allowed you to see a little bit deeper inside of me by sharing my chart. So, interesting stuff. Have a great day. We love you. You are blessed. You are beautiful, incredibly beautiful. And go outside and play. Get your knees dirty. Thanks.
Get out there in the sun and just be you.
Yep. Remember, we're grateful.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.